Good morning, church. Good morning, Zoom. I've been wanting to say that for a long time. Okay, well, been a while since I've been up here. I'm happy to say in the last year I was sent for two classes on lay speaking. So hopefully that's going to help. We'll see at the end of the next 20 minutes or so. Okay, today's scripture, I'm going to be reading from James. James 1, verses 1 through 4. And it says, James, a servant of God and the Lord Jesus Christ, greetings. Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. Okay. Now, if we all bow our heads and join me in prayer, please. Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful and kindle in us the fire of your love. Send forth your spirit, and we shall be created, and you shall renew the face of the earth. O God, who by the light of the Holy Spirit did instruct the hearts of the faithful, granted by the same Holy Spirit, we may be truly wise and never enjoy your consolations. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. January 31st, 2020, I retired after a 33-plus career with the Treasury Department. I say Treasury Department because if I said I was with the Internal Revenue Service, that's not a good conversation starter. February 1st, 2020, I started a new career. So I was retired for a total of 16 hours. January 4th, that's when Debbie and I got married. August 9th is Debbie's birthday. And Debbie, if you're out there, I did remember. So I should get some husband points here, but we'll see how that goes when I get home though. September 24th, 2015 is one of the more significant days in my family's life. Before I get into that significance, I need to provide a little background for you. In August of 2015, our family made a decision to host a foreign exchange student. He was of high school age and he was from Japan. Before we knew it, we ended up with a second exchange student and he was from South Korea. I have lots of interesting stories about this experience, but I can save that for another day if anyone has an interest. You know, I'll be glad to talk to you. But two boys as opposed to having three girls was quite interesting. Now, getting back to September 24th, 2015, it started off as a normal Saturday. I was taking the boys to a meeting of all exchange students and host parents in the Tampa area. You see, every quarter, the kids and all the host parents got together to meet and to talk about things going. In other words, we complain about the kids would complain about us. And then we'd figure out from there what we need to do better or what we're not doing. So. Anyway, Pastor Debbie was attending a woman's retreat on the other side of Tampa, and she was scheduled to be the keynote speaker that day. The meeting with the foreign exchange students was boring at best. I pulled out my phone and started going through emails. A little before noon, I get a text from Debbie, though, and it says, I need to speak to you right now. So I happily excused myself from the room, and I called Debbie's phone, and a strange voice answered the phone. They told me that a few minutes into her message, Debbie collapsed at the podium. As you know, Debbie has vertigo, so I just thought, although highly unusual that she may have just had a vertigo attack and just, you know, fell. While my mind was thinking that that was the case, the woman told me that they had called an ambulance and that they're waiting for the ambulance, and looked like Debbie was having a stroke. They would be taking her to St. Joe's North, which was the closest hospital. The woman said, I should get to the hospital as soon as I can. On the way to the hospital, I called our girls and told them what happened, and that they should meet me there as soon as possible. All I could think about on the way was how strong I had to be for both Debbie and the girls. When I first saw Debbie in the ER, she had no movement on her left side, and she wasn't able to speak very well. The first thing she told me to do was to call the girls. Now, she didn't mean Alyssa, Vanessa, or Felicia. What she meant was her clergy group accountability girls. The four of them have been together now about 12 years. I took the phone and made the calls. They were all ready to come to the hospital at a moment's notice. Now, let me tell you, one of them lived in Fort Lauderdale. The other one lived in Daytona. Third one lived in Lakeland. I was able to talk the two furthest ones out of coming because I don't want them to make 2-3-4 hour trips up to the hospital. However, the one in Lakeland was different. I barely hung up the phone and she was in the car on the way down to Tampa. By this time, the three girls arrived, my three girls or our three girls. And then I had to go into that not worried, everything's gonna be fine look. If I would have been any other way, they would have been more scared than they were already. Today, I wanted to explore the question, how can we persevere in the Christian life? Before we can answer that question, though, it might be helpful if we define perseverance. It is continuing with an undertaking in spite of difficulty, opposition, or discouragement, or remaining steadfast in purpose despite the obstacles that are in your way. That day on September 24th, I had to remain steadfast in my purpose despite the obstacles that were in my way. I had to remain steadfast as the psalmist sings, "For you, Lord, are my hope, my trust. O Lord, from my youth, upon you I have learned from before my birth." And that's Psalm 71:5-6. Now, perseverance requires nourishment. It requires spiritual food for us to grow and to develop so that we can function as followers of Jesus. Now, where do you find the spiritual food? Any ideas? I hear a couple of Bibles. Okay, that's good. Yes, it's the Bible. The Bible is the water, the bread, and the meat of our spiritual lives. It's everything you need for sustenance. You're not going to win the spiritual battles in your lives if you're starving yourself to death. That is why we need to feed on the Word of God.
Say that again.
That's not in here.
No. Oh.
But I'll say it again anyway, okay? You're not going to win the spiritual battles in your lives if you are starving yourself to death. That is why we need to feed on the Word of God. Now, there's a couple different ways you can eat. First, receive the word with your ears. Go to church and listen to the words that are being preached that day. Reflect on the word with your mind. Think about and chew on God's word. Research the word with your hands and mouth. When studying the word, keep a pencil in your hand. Write down what God is teaching you at that moment. Talk about what you're discovering with other believers in a small group environment. This environment can be an accountability or Bible study group. Not only are you studying the Word of God with others, you're doing life together. As Christians, we need to persevere in the life of grace. Because we have shared in that Christian banquet, we see the need for a continued diet of God's grace. We must learn how to acquire it and how to keep it in our daily lives. We also need to remember that we have to give grace as well. If we're expecting it, we need to give it. Why do we persevere? Because a better life is possible for us. A life in grace is for all of us to have. In Matthew 13, verses 45 and 46, Jesus says, "Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant on the lookout for choice pearls. When he discovered a pearl of great value, he sold everything he owned and bought it. But it takes effort on our part to receive and maintain that life. Christians cannot live in a vacuum, but must maintain a relationship with God and with others. You notice I didn't say God or others, I said God and others. Once again, the importance of small groups and of accountability groups. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't know which of those two relationships is harder to keep, relationship with God or relationship with others. Or is it a combination of both? I mean, it probably depends on the day and the moment. To persevere involves maintaining total contact with Christ. Total security comes from encountering Christ, surrendering one will to God, and accepting the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. This is a lifelong process that is achieved through perseverance and the hard work of remaining open to God's persistent love. We have learned that God loves us in spite of ourselves and that he will never stop loving us. There is a difference between the feeling of security and the state of being secure. Feeling secure is turning on your alarm at night before you go to sleep. Being secure is knowing your Lord and Savior. Only that which is absolute can give absolute security. Jesus Christ is the source for divine life in all of us. When in a personal relationship with Jesus, we strengthen the life God has in us. Contact with Jesus Christ is possible through prayer, through meditation, through the sacraments, and through the living word. We grow and become more secure when we maintain contact with Christ using those sources of God's revelation. We need to be connected with other Christians. Now, let me give you a definition of connected here. Connected with other Christians means bonded with another in a safe, reciprocal relationship that allows you to be honest and vulnerable about who you are and what you need. Ideally, connections are built on love, grace, and truth with a trajectory towards growth. Debbie's clergy group was connected. They were ready to do whatever they needed to do without hesitation. They were ready to stand in the gap and provide prayer and any other support that was going to be needed. Not because that they were a pastor were they going to do it. It was because they were Christians, and it was because their sister, who was one of them, was in the middle of a crisis and she needed them. Over the years, Debbie has been involved with multiple small groups, either as a student or a facilitator. While these groups may not meet any longer, the people still have a connection with each other. I know that for a fact because when they all found out Debbie had a stroke, they stepped up to take care of the family. People cooked for us and people cleaned for us. Debbie, cover your ears for 1 second. And I'm going to say in those couple of weeks that people cooked for us, we never ate so good. So it was nice. We had a full refrigerator. So Debbie got to eat some of it too when she came home. But it was just amazing just how by a couple of phone calls, just the chain that started. So it was great. All we had to do on a family was focus on Debbie's getting better and her healing process. Small groups and accountability groups are ways we help each other live in grace. They provide mutual support, encouragement, and accountability. I belong to an amazing small group that meets Thursday mornings. We support each other and we pray for each other. We go through the good times and the bad times together. We need mutual Christ-centered sharing. The Greek word used in the New Testament to describe such sharing is called koinonia. John Wesley believed that there was no personal holiness without social holiness. Living holy lives requires believers to share their lives in intimate fellowship and on a regular basis. Small groups provided a context in which seekers could receive support, accountability, and encouragement. The early church met together, shared fellowship, prayed, and learned about God's will, and they grew in their Christian life. So the early church provides us a model for us of community and participation in the life of Christ. We cannot convert ourselves Neither can we keep growing by ourselves. I'm going to share one more date in my life, and that's December 7th, 2015. Several weeks prior to this date, our oldest daughter confessed that she'd been going through a crisis that she was trying to fix on her own, but just couldn't do it. She didn't want to get mom and dad involved because she was just embarrassed. She was working on cleaning up her mess when she ended up in the emergency room with a serious infection. She ended up having to undergo a minor surgical procedure to clean out that infection. December 7th is the day I went to her house to get her some clothes. When I got to the house, the place was in total disarray. It seemed that her situation was worse than what she led us to believe. It looked like a tornado had hit down. I was walking around in disbelief as I gathered some fresh clothes for her. I then left and I went back to the house to pick Debbie up, and then we were going to go to bring the clothes to the hospital. Now, when I got home, I lost it. I was beginning to fully process what I just saw. I just fell to the floor and I just started to cry. I literally couldn't talk. Debbie knew just what to do. She called two men that were part of my Amaze group when I was living up in Tampa and just told them what was going on. One of them was able to come down to the house and to be with me. It turns out exactly what our daughter was going through, two of his children went through. He was able to sit with me. At that point, all I could do was listen. We talked, I don't know, it could have been 15 minutes or 15 hours, I don't know. But just hearing these comforting words of that everything's gonna be okay and having that hand on your shoulder. Having the relationship with that group allowed me to share, and it helped me to be able to deal with my daughter's crisis. I'm happy to say, though, that everything has worked itself out and it has been good. How many times have you been through something that you think you're the only person that that's happened to? I know that's happened at least once to someone out here. Or you're too embarrassed to tell someone. Church, we don't have to go through it alone. That is so important that I'll say it once again. Church, you don't have to go through it alone. And when I say it, I mean the good its and the bad its. We always just don't have to share all the bad stuff in our lives. We can go and share the good stuff in our lives as well. Small groups create a safe space for us to do that. Now let's look at the cost of perseverance. We know no battle is ever won without some kind of cost. The more valuable the prize, the more costly the effort to achieve it. The walk of faith was never meant to be taken alone. Building authentic relationships of some sort of accountability groups is the premium we pay to persevere as disciples. These are important part of our faith growth and should be taken very seriously. After all, we're dealing with eternal things here. Your time together must be sincere. It should be a space where you can build enough trust, and then you can be open and honest with your brothers and sisters. It's a space to lose the all about me attitude. What these groups are is not a source of gossip. What is said in the group remains in the group, and I pray that we can continue to build such groups here at Wesley. As people, we tend to self-protect because of the things that have happened to us in our lives. We've been made fun of as kids. We've been lied to. We've been told we're worthless and not going to amount to anything. And we have had confidences betrayed. We have to try to get out of that self-protect mode. We just can't do this by ourselves. As we continue to grow in Christ, to press forward, please don't let that old baggage of our past hold us back. Learn to forgive as we have been forgiven and move ahead and forge new relationships with fellow Christians. Life is hard, but it can be a little more bearable when we allow others to walk alongside us. When we look at the sheer size of obstacles in front of us and think, It's impossible. There's no way I can do all of this. I think we've all been there. I would like to close with a story about perseverance by author Anne Lamott in her book, Bird by Bird. It talks about the seemingly impossible task of writing a book. The years of writing and rewriting thousands of words, hoping it all makes sense at the end. When her students feel overwhelmed, she tells them this story from her childhood. 30 years ago, my older brother, who was 10 years old at the time, was trying to get a report on birds written that he'd had 3 months to write, which was due the next day. That just brought me back to my school life. I mean, you have all the time to do something, and what do? You wait till the last minute. So, but we were out at our family cabin in Bolinas, and he was at the kitchen table close to tears, surrounded by binder paper, pencils, and unopened books on birds. He was just immobilized by the hugeness of the task that was ahead of him. Then his father sat down beside him, put his arm around him, and said, "Bird by bird, buddy, bird by bird. Just take it one bird at a time." Like Anne's father, God will put his arm around your shoulder and help you focus on the next step. And before you know it, perhaps sooner than you imagine it was ever possible, you'll look up and realize you're not alone. You'll have some trusted friends to call on. Now, my one last thing, I'd like everyone to take a look at our wonderful cross and continue to look at it. As I say, the vertical part of that cross is our connection to God. The horizontal part of that cross is our connection with each other. Okay? If you take away either one of those, you have no cross, you have no connection. So you need to have both of those connections in order to persevere. Glory be to the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.